This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 305 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Hey, John, what's up?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. What about you?
A little bit of this and a little bit of that. And that is kind of what's up with me.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
You all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A little froggy there.
A little bit, but
yeah. Well, it's been a couple weeks, but In all reality, I don't have a whole ton to talk about because of March Madness, most of our shows were not on.
March Madness, the Oscars, the Grammys, yeah.
Yeah.
I have two notes that say The Rookie wasn't on. Resident Alien wasn't on.
Resident Alien is on, I guess, mid-season hiatus till this summer. You know, and it ended with Asta shooting him, or him getting shot and Asta shooting the guy that shot him. And then, so that's on mid-season hiatus.
Yeah.
Like you said, The Rookie wasn't on. We only have, I believe, only have one episode of This Is Us to discuss.
No, we have two episodes of This Is Us to discuss. Okay. We have the Kate one and the Randall one.
Oh, yeah. You know, I actually like how they did that with this one, with these three episodes where we got and they weren't like entitled like parts one, two and three. It was just the Guitar Man, the Hill and every version of you.
Yeah.
And it all starts with Jack and Rebecca taking the triplets to the pool when they're about 6 years old. And it's interspersed with each episode shows their version of events of what they did at the pool that day.
Yep.
Plus interactions as teenagers back at the pool after their dad's died and Thanksgiving dinner hasn't gone very well. Right? Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah. And so Kevin wants to go see the pool because it's been drained and they're about to wreck the place. So Kevin goes first and then Randall and Kate show up after, and then, you know, and then interspersed with the stories of each one of them today.
Right.
So, yes, because I texted you last week.
Yeah. Last time we talked was about the Kevin episode.
Yeah. And I texted you last week about the Kate episode, or the week before, where Kate has taken the prize for being the most insufferable, self-absorbed Pearson in the group.
Absolutely. I got your text on that, and I had watched it before that, and I fully felt that way as well, especially that last little bit there at the top of the hill. But please elaborate, because you definitely had some strong feelings there.
Well, at the end, so Kate goes to see Toby for the weekend in San Francisco. And the whole time before she goes and while she's there, she misses the old Toby, which is the Toby that she met, the first Toby, not the first Toby, that's terrible, but Toby when she met him, which when he was overweight and didn't dress well and didn't have a good job and was just trying to be funny all the time to try to make up for what he felt was his shortcomings of his appearance and everything.
Right.
And now that he's gone to the gym and he works out and he's slimmed down and he has a job that he loves and he dresses well and he's very popular at his work, but he's still madly in love with his wife and wants to take care of his wife and his family. She just wants him to be overweight and have not a good job and back to the way he was when they met.
Yeah, it's the misery loves company kind of thing. Yes, but it's not even loves that. Company.
Yeah.
It's beyond that because she doesn't want him to succeed. She doesn't like the fact that he's succeeding. Yep. And she's not.
Yeah. And she's even talked to him about it. And he's like, look, I found this house. Let's buy a house in San Francisco. Let's move here. My job's going well. I hate this that I have an apartment and then I'm constantly flying home every weekend. You know, we should be together. And, you know, Kate initially makes her argument about Jack and how he's blind and how they have their routine and how he needs to be in an environment where he has his routine and he's just learning where everything is. And Toby's like, yeah, and he can learn everything here.
Uh-huh. Toby even takes it a step further by saying that he's like, we need to make money. He's like, the stuff that it's going to take for him, tutors and Braille books and, you know, specialists and everything, this is going to cost a lot of money. I've looked into it. These are the prices. We need my job. You being a part-time teacher is not going to cut it.
Right.
So it's not like he's just saying, I want to be in San Francisco. He's saying, we're doing this for our family.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's just and he is basically saying, like, you really don't have any grasp on how much it's actually going to be for us to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And she really doesn't.
Nope.
Because she really has the idea that love will get us through. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's too short-sighted. And Toby takes it another step further, basically saying, like, you love the way your life is now because you have everything you want and I'm not in your life.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And of course, the episode ends with they're going to like they go to a party and Kate finds out that Toby got offered a job in L.A. and he turned it down. And when she confronts him about it, he's like, yeah, that's a job I got offered a long time ago before I got this job. And he basically maintains that the money they offered him is a joke compared to what he's making now. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, how much was it? And he doesn't want to tell her. So she automatically just thinks that, oh, no, it was obviously enough money. You just didn't care or you just wanted to have your fun, happy life here and not. Yeah. Selfish. So then, like, where they're gonna leave from the apartment or someplace, and he's like, let's get an Uber. She's like, why don't we just walk? You say you run by there all the time. And he's like, yeah, but see, it's a steep hill and I don't think you can walk up it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that, but that's what he's trying to avoid saying.
Yeah.
And so she ends the episode by successfully walking up the hill, huffing and puffing, and then calls her job. And says, hey, have you replaced so-and-so who we saw retired at the beginning of the episode or the previous episode? And British fella's like, no. And she's like, I want to apply for it.
Yeah.
And then we see in the next episode that she basically tells Toby, like, I'm not ready to move to San Francisco right now. We need to figure this out. And that is the end of the Randall episode. And Randall tells her, like, the smoker's going to be there in time for your mom's birthday or your mom and Miguel's anniversary or whatever it is. And we know that the incident with the smoker is what causes problems. And Jack gets a scar and blew up their marriage and everything.
Yep.
So that'll be probably today's the episode that's on tomorrow, Tuesday the 5th.
So... It was interesting. You said that she was in love with the old Toby. She did a Fight Club. They preluded it in the beginning of the episode with her talking about Fight Club and how good of a movie it was. And so she does that. She basically has old Toby, you know, same actor, dressed, you know, with a fat beard shaven. fat suit and everything. So she's engaging with him. And she even tells Toby that. She's like, yeah, I've been seeing him this weekend. I've been hanging out with him. And he's like, well, is he here now? Does he want to weigh in on this? So she flips her shit on Toby for turning down that job offer without talking to her about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you got a leg to stand on. Sure. You know, it's a big decision. He should have at least mentioned it to you instead of you finding out through his boss. You know, maybe you've got some credibility there. However, she then does the most Pearson thing in the world, which is I'll show him that I'm better than him. I'm going to go do the exact same thing, but I won't feel bad about it. Because when she goes and calls and says, yeah, I want to apply for that job, she never told him that. That's a permanent full-time position. So she's essentially cementing herself right there in L.A., exactly what she just got pissed off at him for doing, but it's okay because she's a fucking Pearson.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yep. So, yeah, I was very frustrated with her this episode because everything with her is, you know, living in the past and, you know, oh, dad, know this, know that, and I can't do it. I can't move forward with my life. But then you won't. You know, Toby moved forward with his life and still built a life with you in it. He wants to bring you with him into the future. He has tried many times, and every time you're like, no, I want to be me. It's who I am.
Yep, that's exactly who she is. Selfish, selfish, selfish.
Yep.
And what happened with Randall's episode?
With Randall's episode, his holier-than-thou attitude came back to bite him, as we all knew it would, because basically Deja found out from Malik, Randall told me to leave you alone and to back off and let you go so that it would be better for you. And when she confronts him about it, he's like, well, let's have a talk. Let's talk. And she's like, no, I'm not talking about it. And he's like, you're my daughter. And she's like, no, you're just some dude who took me in when my mom couldn't. You took me from my mom.
Yeah, you're just some guy that took me from my mom. Yep.
You're not my father. So then in a shock to absolutely nobody in the entire world, she runs away to go see Malik in Boston. And so Randall decides he's going to chase after her, and Rebecca's like, I'll go with you, because obviously she can tell from the snarky little comments that Randall's pissed that Kate gets to make all the decisions.
Yeah.
And they have some mother-son bonding time out on the road. She basically tells him that his entire life he's been taking care of her and he's been, you know, watching over her, and that she can't do it anymore. Like, he needs to live his own life, and that's why she put Kate in charge, was so that he could focus on himself and his own life and blah, blah, blah. And then they finally get up to Boston. You know, first it's like they get a call. Yeah, she's in Boston with Malik. Well, duh. Everybody knows that. Come on. And then, you know, they make another stop, and then they get a call from Deja. She's like, I'm ready to be picked up. You know, Randall sees Malik, and Malik's like, I didn't do this for you. I did this for her, because this is too much, me trying to do this college and stay with good grades and blah, 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 and I can't be bringing her into that. So, you know, he's being all noble about it. And, you know, Deja's upset, but she says, you know, it's just not right right now. Maybe down the road we will get back together, but, you know, it's not right. And Randall, you are my dad. He's like, I know.
I didn't care at all for the whole adventures of Randall and Rebecca.
No.
I didn't care for that. I didn't care about them constantly taking selfies with each other. I just didn't care for it.
No, I didn't either. The young version of him at the pool, we get to see how he basically, like, you know, we had seen Kevin wanting to dive right into the deep end and not learning how to swim first, because that's how he is. We saw Kate refusing to let go of dad and refusing to go swimming because, you know, she's too scared to try anything new, which, again, outlined their episodes very well. And then you see that Randall is kind of left to go off on his own while mom and dad dote over those two because they can't handle life. And he goes and passes his swim test. He's allowed to be in the deep end with the big kids, you know, all on his own. And when they're teenagers at the pool there, he talks the cop down. I loved what he said to Kate and Kevin, you know, when he's like, yeah, I told him, I was like, look at those two. Just look at them. Do you think either one of them would survive a day in prison? And they're like, you did not. But what he actually said to the cop was, you know, our dad died and basically our family's hanging on by a thread. I don't think we would survive if we got arrested for this.
Besides, I'm going to be president someday.
Yep. And we did also find out this episode that he's considering running for senator. So you know he'll be doing that.
Yep. So.
There's still a number of episodes this season, though.
There are. And I'm glad the show's winding down because it just needs to.
Yep.
But I don't. Yeah, I'm glad the show's winding down because it needs to. That's it. That's all I got.
Yes, yes it does. Excuse me.
All right. What else you got?
We finished Reacher.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
We had two episodes left. This show, the more episodes went on, the more it doubled down on being fucking ridiculous. Over-the-top ridiculous. To the point of that final scene where, like, the warehouse explodes with the force to knock everybody outside of it down, and then, like, 2 seconds later, he comes strutting out. I'm like, nope. Nope, come on. That's ridiculous. But it was still, knowing that, it was still good. You know, it was still enjoyable for what it was. You know, I didn't need it to be anything else. You could tell that it was written by somebody who probably, like, I kept saying to Julia a number of times, she'd be like, what is going on? And I'm like, it's because it was written by my dad, you know? That kind of person.
Yeah.
Couple of things that I will note. I called it on Picard like four episodes in. I was just like, he seems to be the common denominator. I'm betting he's bad. She's like, really? You think so? But he's Finley's friend. I'm like, nah, I'm calling it now. And then, like, right before they did the big reveal, I was like, maybe I was wrong, because that would actually be clever. That would actually require thinking. And this show doesn't think much. But then, you know, they're like, oh, look. I was like, yep, called that one. And also, I'm sure you looked this up because it was very blatant. But in the last episode, when he walks into the cafe for the last time and finally gets his piece of pie.
Yeah.
When he walks in the door, some old guy walks by him and he's like, oh, excuse me. And, like, pushes him out of the way. That was Lee Child, the author of the books.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was like, there's something there. And I tried bringing it up on Amazon. They didn't have him listed, so I Googled it. And they were like, yeah, that's Lee Childs. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Kind of like Stephen King being in his stuff.
Yep, yep. Stan Lee being in his stuff.
Exactly. Exactamundo. So, what else we got for shows?
Well, I just mentioned the FBI agent there. So, Picard, are you caught up on that?
I did not watch the most recent one. This was a big weekend for me.
Yeah.
On Friday, it was the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and Mikey and Paul came over for that. And then on Saturday, it was WrestleMania Saturday. And on Sunday, it was WrestleMania Sunday, and I worked day shift Saturday, so, like, I just didn't get that episode of Picard in.
Gotcha.
Excuse me. The most recent one, episode, oh, shit. Help me out
like
here.
Five, maybe? Four or five. I think it's five.
I saw episode four, The Watcher, where we find out that young Guyan is the Watcher.
Guinan, yep.
Guinan. And then what was the episode after that? The Fly Me to the Moon. That one, yep. I have not seen yet.
It's getting really good.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this because Katie, the girl that I work with, told me this, so I'm going to tell you this. When you watch the episode, she said at the end, it's not at the end. There's like midway through, a character holds up a business card that has a phone number on it. Call the number.
Oh, really?
Yep.
In episode five or four?
Five.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about it. Just call the
okay.
number.
Okay. Okay. You call it?
Uh-huh. Sure enough did.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a call.
So other than that, like the first four episodes, are you liking the direction that they're going right now?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoyed the first four episodes. Like I said, in episode four, they're on Earth. Raffi's been taken by ICE. So we have Seven Rios has. So we have Seven and Raffi trying to find Rios and get him back from ICE and where he is. So that was kind of cool. We meet young Guinan, who brings Picard after he convinces her who he is. Takes him a long time. Mm. She brings him to a supervisor who I like how she just calls themselves a guardian angel. And then she like smirked about the name.
Mm-hmm.
And the supervisor looks like Laris, which is like a real like kind of clustery thing for Picard, of course.
Who just had the sex with her.
Yep, yep, yep. And they teleport away, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And then I think the most interesting thing is Q is at the end, does his finger snap, but nothing happens.
Mm, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of guys, when they reach a certain age.
Yeah.
But tss.
Yep. But.
No, the next episode is phenomenal. You know what I find interesting? Talk about typecasting. So the woman who plays the Borg Queen.
Yes.
Was also the psychopath killer in The Rookie and was also the evil person in the later seasons of Timeless.
Wow, yeah, she's definitely typecast, isn't she?
She is the evil woman, apparently.
Yep. That's what she does.
Yep. Yeah. Let's see. Young Rock.
I enjoy this show, by the way.
I do, too, and I imagine for different reasons.
Why do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it because it is entertaining, but also it's showing a real success story. You know, you're getting to see, like, in one of these episodes when, you know, Dad was on top and he Mom bought actual Ruffles. You know,
yes.
And he's like, these don't look like Tasty Ridges. She's like, no, these are Ruffles, nothing but name brand in this house.
Yep. Yep.
And you think about it like that is legitimately that was something I've experienced. Mm-hmm. And that's also something that he experienced. And now you look at where he is today, you know, yes. So it's kind of inspiring, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to say, I do recognize several of the wrestlers and the famous people in there. Yeah,
like we're in the storyline now where Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas are tag team champions, and that Rocky Johnson is very jealous of Tony Atlas because that's reality of it. He was very jealous of Tony Atlas. Rock's mom is shown taking over booking for the promotion while her mother is not allowed to because of her FBI trial going on. Mm-hmm. Court case or her home confinement, and she starts to make changes and add storylines to the matches and modernize things, which her mother does not like because that means she's not in control and she's a control freak.
But I love it when she made the reference. It's like soap operas, but in wrestling. I'm like, yep, here it is.
That's exactly what it is. Here's the thing: Rock's mom loves wrestling to this day.
Yeah.
WrestleMania was this past weekend, like I said, on Sunday night, you could see her sitting in the front row.
Awesome.
And The Rock wasn't even there. Like, I saw her, I was like, oh, Rock must be here. You know, like, he's going to make an mm-hmm. appearance or something. But no, there she is, sitting in the front row, watching wrestling. You know, I'm assuming she didn't pay for that seat. But just the point is, that's right, how much she loves wrestling. She still goes to big shows.
That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. This is where The Rock, we find in one of the episodes, you know, he gets cut from the Canadian football team. His dad picks him up. He's only got $7
in his pocket. The knuckle pinch.
Yeah, the knuckle pinch there. I got to talk to you. This is also where The Rock decides that he's going to try and get into professional wrestling. He hasn't asked his dad yet, but that'll be in this week's episode, which is out tomorrow, I'm assuming, which his dad initially refuses to train him. At least that's what happened in real life. We meet Sean Austin's character, which is a douchebag kid who grows up to be a douchebag adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who does the horse shit like, well, you say Rocky Johnson's your dad, but has anyone ever actually seen you with Rocky Johnson? No, we just got to take your word for it that he's your dad. You know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. he brings a photo here. Here's a picture of me and my dad. I got a picture with Rocky Johnson as well. Does that make him my dad? Like, he's that shithead of a kid.
Yep.
And then they have a ladder match because Rock brings his dad's belt. And this is where I think the fictional dramatization kicks in, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, so it's interesting. It's interesting. I enjoy the show. It's fun.
I do, too. This has been a very enjoyable show. I want to say surprisingly, but yeah, surprisingly, like I went into this thinking, this is going to be something I'll watch one or two episodes of. I actually look forward to it every week now.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do too. So.
Yeah.
Oh, hell's bells. Hell's Let's bells. Say. My temperature rise.
The end game?
Yeah, where you at on that? You caught up?
I'm caught up.
Sweet.
It's enjoyable. In air quotes, like, as long as you know what you're getting into, just understand that it's way over the top. Like, she knows everything. She does everything. Everything is perfectly planned. She's like, I would love to see her versus Red Reddington at some point. Because, yeah. Obviously... these guys, like, they both have that whole, oh, I'm perfect. I planned everything out. I know exactly what's going on. I can solve any puzzle. I can set up elaborate traps and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, if I could see the two of them go at each other, it would be amusing. But ultimately, it's a popcorn show. You know, yeah. If they canceled it tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, moving on. But it gives me something to fill in when I've got nothing else. By the way, The Rookie was renewed for another season, speaking of.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So, yeah. Are you still enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm the same way with you. It's a popcorn show. It's a Mary Jane show. You know, everything really seems to work out well or work out exactly the way we want. Or, like, I did like in this week's episode, though, where the lead actress there goes to confront the guy that killed her mom in a drive-by when she was trying to kill her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying, and she confronts her and she confronts him about it, and he just is like, I don't know what you're talking about, you need to get out of here. And then, like, the delivery guy shows up and he immediately lights up a cigarette and then dies because yeah. they're laced with heroin.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, of course. They just happen to make a delivery while she's there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when she confronts her about it, Marina Brock's character or whatever, you know, the lead bad girl says, well, yeah, he waited and waited and waited there for you to show up so that way he can make the delivery while you were there. I'm like, okay, at least they're addressing that little nuance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So at least, yeah, exactly. Because mm-hmm. we're all sitting there going, oh, come on. And yeah. then even the main character in the show is like, come on.
But anywho, let's see, what else we got on tap?
I think the only two shows that I've got left on my list are Ghosts and Moon Knight.
Shit. Is Ghosts back?
Ghosts is back.
Oh, okay. I got to catch up. I did not watch Ghosts.
Oh.
I did not know it was back.
Of the episode is Trevor's Pants.
Outstanding.
Yes, and it was phenomenal.
I'm sure it was. I'll have to watch it with the wife tomorrow night. We have been watching American Idol this season, and we're on mm-hmm. Hollywood Week, and we're enjoying the hell out of it. It's actually very good so far. We only get frustrated near the end when the people we like don't make it, and we just think everyone's stupid, and we shut it off.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I'm enjoying Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty on HBO.
Have you watched
any of that at all?
I have not, but I know you said that you really enjoyed it.
Okay. I don't want to ruin it. I really do think you should watch it. I just enjoy the hell out of the show. It's very entertaining to me. I love the filming style of it. I love the breaking the fourth wall, talking to the camera. I love how before and at the end and practically in the middle of every episode, they scream, "This is a dramatization. Some characters' names are real. We've changed what some of the things they do. Some characters are an amalgamation of multiple different real people. This is some scenes are dramatized," you know, like, apparently, the family of Jerry West, who was a very famous, he's still alive, but you know, he was a very famous basketball player and then coach and then general manager for the Lakers. And you know, the NBA logo, like the silhouette of the guy dribbling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's him.
Ah.
And apparently his family is not very happy with how he's been portrayed in the series so far.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but I enjoy the hell out of it.
Nice.
Let's see here. Killing Eve. I have two episodes left to go. I'm kind of just looking forward to finishing them. I don't dislike it by any means. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to moving on.
Okay. I definitely gave up, so.
Yeah. Well, I gave up on Discovery after, like, the first episode.
Yeah, I haven't even started that one yet.
Yeah. There's a show on AMC Plus. It's called The Dirty Black Bag, or That Dirty Black Bag, I believe it's called.
Okay.
The Western. Yeah, it's I want to like it. I want to like it a lot, but I really just can't. Yeah, it's called That Dirty Black Bag. I really want to like it. It's about a bounty hunter, kills people, takes off their heads, put them in a bag. A story over 8 long days describes the encounter of a clash between two men, McCoy, an apparently incorruptible sheriff with a dark past, and Red Bill, a dirty, tack-turned bounty hunter, killer, trapped, and a desire for vengeance that cannot be fulfilled. I really want to like it. Dominic Cooper's in it. But yeah, I'm struggling. I struggled with the first episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Hey, speaking of struggle, did you watch any of Pieces of Her?
No.
Okay.
But I did watch one episode of The Dropout. Now that you mention that. That's the one with Amanda Seyfried on Hulu, and it's about the Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos.
Oh, how's that?
It's creepy. Just seen the one episode so far, but she really does portray her well. And, you know, it's a documentary about what happened. And I will say this. I asked Julia afterwards. I was like, am I imagining this? And she said, no, you're not imagining it. Most times when you see documentaries or shows like this where they're trying to give you backstory of what happened, you know, what led us to this point, the initial episodes, the initial story, you always find a way, like the person is portrayed as the victim or, you know, somebody who you're like, oh, man, I could see why they turned bad. No, she was just a shit from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Nice. Are you going to keep watching it?
Probably. But it's definitely not a high priority.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to start it or not.
Yeah. I don't think that it would be very enjoyable for you.
Oh, okay. As long as we're on the same page, I guess. let's see here. What else did I watch? I watched the first two episodes of the new Halo series.
Oh, I haven't heard good things.
I do not watch I've never played the video games. So if the reason why the people don't like it is because it somehow strays from the video game storyline, that's not affecting me.
So are you enjoying it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm actually enjoying it thoroughly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen bad stuff, but I haven't seen like why. I haven't read in depth.
Oh. I think really I really think you need to just take a look at it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those that I will check out. I never really got into the games either because I went more with the PlayStation side of things than the Xbox. So, yeah,
I guess my recommendation is watch one episode, see what happens.
Hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, I will check it out. I just, I don't know. I haven't had a lot of time for shows. What else have you watched?
I get it. I think that's it for shows. I haven't watched anything new. That's it.
We still have to talk Moon Knight.
Well, yeah, other than Moon Knight. I haven't watched anything else is what I mean.
Okay.
But I would say to you, give the Halo show a watch. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. Moon Knight, what'd you think?
Loved it. What'd you think? I
loved it. Like, sincerely, absolutely loved it. The scenes when he's in the van, the cupcake van.
Oh yeah.
And like he keeps having like flashes where like time disappears for us, and the next thing you see like there's a guy attacking in the van, and then his eyes roll back in his head, and then it cuts to. And he's holding a gun, and then the guy sitting in the back of the van clearly been shot before he falls out. Or he's being attacked, and he flashes, and he wakes up, and there's like five bodies laying around him, and he's just standing there. Like, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
You know what I want them to do? And what? I don't know if they're going to do this, but I think it would be fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Is the next episode... show us the first episode, but from Mark's perspective.
Oh.
Same kind of thing. Because I love the voice who kept calling him like Parasite. And he's like, give him back control. Why are you awake? You're not supposed to be awake right now. I want to see it from the other side.
Oh, okay. I do too. I want to see it from the other side as well. But the problem with that is there's so few episodes. That
right, yeah,
they really they need to progress really be able the story. To get into it. Yeah, they really need to be able to progress the story.
Oh, how cool would that be, though? You know, see the girl get asked out on the date, see how he got to that country that he was in. Yeah,
I can get behind that.
So basically, like, if you're uninitiated, they don't give us much of anything to go on. Like, this is an origin story. We haven't seen him in any of the MCU stuff before this. So we are only seeing, you know, who he is right now. We don't even get to see him in superhero form until like the last 30 seconds of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about him. We've got no explanations, and it's so fucking cool.
It really is. Like, you know, he goes to sleep and he wakes up and he goes to the restaurant. We're supposed to have a date with someone. She doesn't show up. He calls her and he's like, yeah, I'm at the restaurant. What happened? Where are you? And she's like, oh, very funny. No, no, I'm there. She's like, yeah, our date was on Friday. I know it's Friday. No, it's Sunday. Like he lost 2 days and doesn't realize it. He finds the cell phone of Mark, the other personality or whoever, and there's all these messages, and this girl's like, oh, thank God, are you okay? Why are you talking with that accent? Like, because that's apparently Mark doesn't have a British accent.
Right.
But Steven does.
Mm-hmm.
I love like the voice, like Mark's voice or whoever it is talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to give him the scarab. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is. It's just, I don't know. I just love it. I love it.
I mean, he's like, I love Ethan Hawke's character.
Yep.
How much did you cringe in that first scene with the slippers?
Tremendously.
Oh my God. I was just like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. Tremendously.
Yeah.
It was just downright gross, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I'm being honest. Jeez, I'm trying to think. We've only got one episode so far. Next episode's out this week. I think there's only 6 episodes total. They're about an hour apiece. I'm really, really digging it. I can't wait for the next episode. And I am a guy that I have not read any of the Moon Knight comics. So I'm not really even familiar with the character at all or the storylines of the character from the comics. Mm-hmm. So
it's, yep. Yeah, I love it. I'm very glad to see that they're bringing something that, again, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, an obscure property that you don't really think of with Marvel. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And it's great so far.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Very excited for this week's episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep. Is that it for shows?
I think it is. I can only think of one movie that I watched, and I'm just trying to think what I did the weekend before. Let's see here. So we last recorded on March 21st.
Correct. About right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that Friday I went and Kate and I stayed in Lowell, Mass. We went and saw the band America Friday night. And then Saturday night, Kane and I went to wrestling. So I really didn't have time to watch a whole lot of TV. And in fact, even at the hotel, we couldn't even find a crappy movie on to watch. So that was a little sad. So we ended up watching The Golden Girls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I mean,
he loves The Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls is great, but at the same time, that's too rough.
Yeah, but that's fine. Whatever, it is what it is. No biggie dealy. So I went to wrestling and stuff, and then Sunday night, I think I just caught up on shows, and then we didn't have recording on Monday, and then I watched one movie on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday was all wrestling related. So yeah, I just have one movie to talk about. Okay. You know, sometimes I forget to write things down, and I just did not forget to write it down because I had nothing to write down.
Mm.
And in fact, the one movie I'm going to talk about, I'm barely going to talk about. So,
well, you're doing better than me because I have 0 movies to talk about.
Okay. Rude and I went and saw Morbius.
Ooh, I have heard some bad shit about that.
On Thursday, March 31st at 4:10 p.m., I think we were 2 of 10 people in the theater, and it was the big theater at Regal in Augusta.
Right. Okay.
So that's a movie I spent money on that I should have waited to not spend as much money on to watch. So I'm not going to say it was bad. Okay. I'm going to say it was an origin story for Morbius, where he battles his first villainous foe and is triumphant. And then, now I'm going to kind of live my life and we don't know what's going to happen next. Except we have 2 PS scenes. And the 2 PS scenes. So this is what's great. In the trailer, did they not show Michael Keaton?
I thought they did, yeah.
Yeah, no, they did. He's in one of the PS scenes.
Mm.
Can you believe that shit? They gave away what I'm assuming was supposed to be a surprise character from the PS scenes in the fucking trailer.
Now, in fairness, remember that this movie has been in production, air quotes, for like 10 years now. they've redone it many times. We've gotten several trailers because they're like, no, we're really going to release it this time. And then they don't for another couple of years. It's entirely possible that they reworked it. Maybe that was originally supposed to be in the movie and now it's a PS.
Well, so we got a PS scene. We got two, but there was one was like they did like the end thing where he drives away or whatever he does. And then they put Morbius on the screen, you know, mm-hmm. and then we get a PS scene and then we get like the fancy credits, mm-hmm. which is like with like action and it's different text and da 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 for a few minutes. And then we get the second PS scene and then there's just the normal credits, you know, the white letters running with the black screen. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's no other scenes. So there's just the two.
Okay.
The PS scenes is what essentially relates it to the MCU.
Okay.
And I will say it does tie into No Way Home.
You can feel free to tell me because I'm more interested in that. Like, well, you know, spoilers, if people don't want to hear, they can bugger off now. But I'd rather hear about it because I'm not, even when this comes out, I'm not going to rush to watch it.
Okay, fair enough.
But I am interested in the tie-ins.
Well, you know, I'm sure that the I'm sure someone's got them on the YouTube somewhere. Anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Sony's usually pretty good about takedowns.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So the first PS scene, Morbius beats the villain, and then something else happens, and then we see like the skyline, you know, like in No Way Home when the portals opened up, we saw the skyline kind of break open the way it did.
Yeah.
Like when the tear in the multiverse first happens in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
And when that happens, Adrian Toomes all of a sudden like appears in a holding cell in his uniform and everything. And it's Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like he's in the detention facility there in Manhattan. And of course, in Homecoming, he ended up in prison.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. With Mac Darkin.
And he figured out who Peter Parker was in that movie. But see, basically, he's like, huh, well, hope they have better food in this joint. So and then it cuts to like a scene of him being released from prison because he's like, Adrian Toomes all of a sudden appeared in a holding cell. He's being transferred for his, what we all believe to be his immediate release because he wasn't convicted of any crimes. So my assumption is,
because he forgot about
Spider-Man. Mm. Well, but not really, I don't think. Cause he doesn't know that Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Right.
And so that in the next PS scene, we see Morbius driving out into the desert and we see Adrian Toomes again, except now, and he's in his full vulture suit with mask and everything. And he says, I don't know how I got here, but I feel like Spider-Man has something to do with it. We should team up. And maybe we can do something good. And Morbius is like, intriguing.
Huh.
So I'm wondering if so we don't know which
Adrian Toomes was in that universe.
But I'm wondering now is because here's the thing. Sony has the rights to Spider-Man, who's fully involved in the MCU.
Uh-huh.
And we've established that Eddie Brock, the Tom Hardy Eddie Brock Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Is not in the MCU with Peter Parker, with Tom Holland's Peter Parker, mm-hmm. because he gets sucked into that universe and then gets sucked back to his own universe and loses some of his Venom symbiote in Tom Holland's Spider-Verse, right?
Right. Yep.
So we know he's not there. The rumor is he's in Andrew Garfield's Spider-Verse. Right. What if Morbius is in Andrew Garfield's Spider-Verse? And Adrian Toomes got pulled into this one and somehow got stuck there.
Into Andrew Garfield's or into the primary, the 616?
Into Andrew Garfield's.
Okay.
universe. Because
I don't know how he would have, though, because they were all supposed to go back to their own universe.
They were, weren't they? But that's the thing, is we don't see him get pulled back. We just see him show up in this one. That's it.
It's bizarre.
And he makes a comment of like, oh, the food's better in this joint. So he's been in prison where he was. Mm-hmm. And now where he is, he's committed no crimes because he's not in his universe. So somehow he's stuck in this universe, which is not his own. Or was not the original one from Homecoming. So I'm wondering if he's in now Andrew Garfield's universe, and now they've and now Andrew Garfield's going to take over this multiverse verse, this Earth, whatever you want to call it, and he's going to have Morbius and Venom and now Vulture. So like they've essentially established this Spideyverse with Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. So like Sony's basically like, all right, yeah, you can have Tom Holland's Spider-Man. We're going to keep Andrew Garfield Spider-Man and bring him back.
Maybe.
I mean, it'd be cool. But I don't know. I could be stretching things. I could be out there.
I'm reading a write-up on it real quick. The setup for the post-credit scene is a bit tricky. Apparently, at some point, like during the final moments of No Way Home, a mysterious man manifested out of nowhere in an empty cell in prison. This was Adrian Toomes, who has no criminal record here in this world and was therefore set free immediately. Why Toomes was sent to a new world is never made clear, though the specifics of how or why the No Way Home spell worked the way it did are fuzzy at best, given that the same spell brought Eddie Brock home and sent him back.
Yeah, right? You know, Morbius is set in the same reality as the Venom movies.
Mm-hmm. And probably the upcoming Kraven the Hunter movie.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. There's also a Madam Web movie coming out. And in the cartoon series, if you remember, Madam Web is the one who took Peter through the multiverse, let him see different versions of himself.
Yeah.
So maybe Madam Web is going to be the new way to tie them all together.
Now, in this one here I'm reading, it says a Daily Bugle newspaper glimpsed in the film confirms that this universe has a Spider-Man, but that he's missing. It's unlikely to be Tobey Maguire's one since he encountered his own version of Venom in Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves Andrew Garfield's Spidey, which would allow Sony to finally pick up that Amazing Spider-Man 2 thread, or someone new. But we've been told that we're going to find out soon.
Well, they got to make some kind of sense to it.
Yeah. Also, hold on a second. Yeah. Toomes' vulture suit in this is not the same one he used in Homecoming. It's something he had to build in this universe as well. So, and it says it's possible this all will be addressed in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is scheduled to release May 6th. So, aside from Morbius, Venom, and Toomes, we haven't seen many candidates in the Sony universe. However, classic Spidey villains Rhino and Chameleon, along with Spidey ally and sometimes villain Black Cat, are mentioned on Daily Bugle front pages during the course of the movie.
Mm. I want to see Chameleon. I think Chameleon would be a fucking blast, just like they did with, I was going to say Morbius, Mysterio. I would love to see them do Chameleon the right way.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with it. I don't know. I'm glad I saw it simply for I've seen it now once and I don't need to see it again.
Yep.
And is even though it's kind of on the outskirts of the MCU, it's still part of the MCU. So
yeah.
But all right. Trailers and stuff. Don't have a whole lot. We didn't transfer a whole lot back and forth.
Nope. Yeah, I don't have anything extra in my notes aside from the few little things.
Like you had shared with me that Hugh Grant was allegedly in talks to become Doctor Who. And then later on, like the next day, Doctor Who was Hugh Grant was like, yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah, he's like, why would you say that?
And then I was like, I bet he's lying. And then you did share with me that Sony had shared this a trailer called Spider-Man No Way Home, The Amazing Pete number three.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an official trailer from Sony.
Yes, that looks pretty cool. You shared with me that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is set to be a star as Johnny Carson in a new bio series. I'll watch that.
I will as well. I think that's
cool. And like I said to you, go ahead.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt definitely has the range and the facial structure.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he's good. I like him a lot.
Yep.
Like I told you, the author of this article comes off as a douchebag and not funny or cutting edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, let's see what else. What else you got?
The only other one that I know of was Gotham Knights. That new CW series is casting Misha Collins as Two-Face.
Yeah, which, I mean, okay. I like him as Castiel. I'm sure he could pull it off.
Yep.
So. Yep, I'm sure he could pull it off. But I guess that's everything for me.
Yeah, I think that's everything for me as well.
So. All right, well, you can find me on the Twitterverse. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That is our show.
Talk to you next week.